The subject for tonight is family stories. And the issue that we're going to address for storytelling is that storytelling is a relationship. How do you establish a good relationship? Any relationship with anybody. Yes, and how do you show that?
Ask questions.
Asking questions. Exchanging information. And basically what they all say when you go to those counseling or support group sessions is, listen. Develop your listening. Listen more carefully. Do you really listen to your children? Do your children listen to you? Right? So tonight we're going to find out what might happen if we start to really take this seriously and get our families' stories collected or listened to and told. And then we're going to do a couple of theater games that illustrate the role of listening and also assist us in increasing our listening skills and our observation skills, too. And then I'm going to divide you up into partners. And you are going to tell from a 1 minute to a 3 minute story about yourself or your family to the person that you're partnering with. That person is responsible for every gesture, every pause, and every word, each smile and frown that you make, because that person will become you and tell your story to the rest of us. Because the ultimate in making a relationship is identification. And where the most intimate identification takes place is, I believe, still, usually, in the family, right? So today we're going to pretend like we're family. We're all family. And we're going to have some fun finding out some of our stories. Now, before we start this trip, are there any questions? Feel free to interject at any point along the way. And now, a very short story from Maren. I was in college when I met Ivor Ivosk. He came up to Holden once or twice, too, and did a lit class up here. He was from Estonia and very proud of it. And his wife, Astrid, was a poet also. And one day, in front of class, he said, "You know, you will forget everything I tell you, but you won't forget me." And he was right, I didn't. And I think that if we're going to give something to our children and our relatives, one of the best gifts we can give is ourselves. And after all, who are we? We're a family of stories. So, there's a go, as we say in Norsk. And now, I want you to listen to Karen and Carl because they have collected some stories and they're going to share with you a couple experiences that they've had in the process of collecting them. Gertrude was telling me earlier that she's finally got her autobiography done, at least as far as it's gone.
Thanks to Helen.
Thanks to Helen.
She was,
you're welcome.
She felt
along with it.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, do it. Just quit talking about it, do it.
Good.
I still talk about it.
Well, we're going to hear part of it. Not about doing it.
Karen,
whoever wants to do it.
Yeah.
Do you want to sit up here?
I can do that. I can just sit on the edge here, I think.
Okay.
Our family experience and stories started with some time ago with a great grandfather who came from Norway to Decorah, Iowa in the year 1861. And he wrote a diary starting sometime prior to that. He would keep a record of what his life was about in Norway and then continued on as he lived in America. His diary starts having never known a father. He relates his experiences as a young boy growing up in Norway without one parent. And as we talked about that story in our family, we thought there are a lot of parallels today in terms of what happens in families today even. And so even back in 1828, a Norwegian mother with this boy had to eke out a living to make sure he got along, and subsequently he did the same for her in taking care of his mother and raised his family. He came from a little area of Gran Hadeland, Norway, and we had the chance on at least the last two occasions that we visited Norway to go up and visit these two old sister churches up there, coming from about the year, built in about the year 1000, where he was baptized and confirmed. And so it did give us a chance to trace back that story. My mother, an aunt, rather laboriously wrote the diary from its original Norwegian. And then a friend of ours, Professor Gunnar J. Malmeen, who was a professor of Norwegian at TLU at the time, he was formerly director of the Choir of the West, and some of you may have sung with Gunnar. So he translated it, and we let it sit for a bit until one summer I decided I was going to take the time that I needed to edit what had been transcribed and then translated. So my mother and I sat out on a porch in Fox Island going through this diary, and as we wrote, we, you know, had all those kinds of warm feelings about family. In terms of knowing a little bit more about our roots and heritage and so forth. The story has a lot of interesting changes. He's a very religious man, and so the book is, his diary is full of prayers for his family and concerns about the raising of children. And we were able in that way to really relate to some of the problems that even we face as parents, as it was a large family of about 10 children, three of whom were born in Norway, and he couldn't leave Norway until, of course, he had seen that his mother had lived through her life, and when she passed on, then he felt he could leave the country and come, since he was the only child. As we, some of the stories that I think could be pulled out, as your family stories could be too. There are several places in the book in which there are some incidents that would, I think, make, you know, stories that you could add on and tell stories beyond that which is just transcribed in the diary or written in the book. The culmination of the activity, because I know we have a lot of territory to cover this evening in terms of storytelling and to hear some other stories as well. It culminated that we took this little diary that we translated and edited and printed published about 150 copies, and we wrote to this Teslo family, call it the Diary of Anders Tesla, called all of these relatives together spread across Minnesota and Dakotas, and my mother and I, and my wife, my mother and I, flew back to Minneapolis and held a dinner. And at that dinner, we handed out these books as a gift to the family. And then I went through it with them, and it turned out to be really kind of an interesting occasion to share these stories of family. And some, of course, had little or no remembrance at all. There is a banker in Minneapolis and a minister, Lutheran pastor, whose mother is one of the interesting stories in the book, in which one daughter had married a professor at Lutheran Academy in Albert Lea, Minnesota. And it was kind of a touching time when she had this new baby and discovered, of course, that she was terminally ill, and decided then to return to the farm home to really pass on, as Professor Tolley continued to work in Albert Lea. The family farm was in Hayward, Minnesota. When she then passed on, the baby grew on, and she's, I think, now about 88 or 89, living we think still living, we haven't had been in touch with her. But she would write back and forth to my mother, because she came to that dinner that night, and I'd say she was probably the oldest one there. So this baby that was mentioned in the story had a collection too of family history that we never really got to write that aspect of. We're really sorry about that. But good old Anders was and he has the stories about how much it cost to buy this and how much he made, and you know how Norwegians keep pretty good track of their accounts, and so some of it is gets a little monotonous as it goes along, but it is kind of interesting. We gained a lot of pleasure. Then we also put all the family trees together, at least down to about the fifth. Let's see, it would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, about the fifth or sixth generation. And so that needs to be done again. Somebody needs to update the little record of what went on. So that was a little story of starting in 1828 in Norway and ending up with his death in 1912 in Hayward, and to the family now in 1987, still with a fond memory of these stories that came out of this diary of good old Grandpa Tesla.
All right, now we're going to tell the stories, and this is how it works. The person who is telling the story stands up by the behind the chair. The person whom the story is about is sitting down in the chair. Thank you. I made a mistake. It's wonderful.
Would you like it?
I don't know. It depends on what do you think the average height of most of us is. Is that about right? That looks good.
You're ready.
Okay. So who wants to start? Good. You get it over with. That's the nice part.
You've got to see.
Okay. Do you want to talk first or me?
Sure, I don't care. I have a nice...
All right. The other thing is that as you talk, and this is just a very nice reassuring touch, you put your hands on the shoulders of the person whose story you're telling. Okay? That relieves you of the responsibility of doing all their gestures. And introduce yourselves, please.
My real name or what? My real...
Make one up.
This is...
You speak in the first person, Gertrude, ask him.
Okay, I'm Bill, and I grew up in Oregon. And I have a real cute story I remember from my grandparents. I remember the time when three people were able to drive all together the car. And it was a necessity. It happened like this. My grandfather became very old, and there was a time when he couldn't have his license anymore. So the license was removed, and his wife and his aunt still could drive. So all three of them still drove, but the aunt used the license, and grandfather just went on for the ride. But then the aunt, I believe, he said, I believe it was, became elderly and grew old and didn't have quite her faculties together, what we call probably senility. it came on slowly, and so they decided, all three of them, they would pull this act together and still go shopping. Grandfather sat on the right, my grandmother sat on the left, and the aunt sat in the middle. And the it might have been a little bit different, but but all three of them still drove, and they got where they wanted. One did the gave direction. One was doing the steering, and the other person was just moral support. Sure. Something like that. Shifting. I thought that was a nice story to share with you.
My name is Gertrude. As you can tell from my accent, I was born in Germany. And I lived there and went to school there. And I remember this story about my grade school days. And one of the classes that we had to take, or that was taught throughout all of the school year and through all of the classes that we took, was religion. Because in my home country, we had a state religion. And so all of the kids, or all of the, excuse me, I shouldn't use the word kids, all of the children were taught religion. And school was very, very, very important to us in those days, much more so than now. And that was partially because my father and my mother impressed upon me as to how important school was, how much we needed that to be successful and get ahead. So we were very, very respectful, very much different from the students these days. Anyway, one day, my teacher, I think I was in the second or third grade, I don't remember exactly when it was, asked me a question. My teacher asked me, how many disciples does Jesus have? And so I answered, a dozen. That was a very disrespectful answer for those days. Not a good word to use. So as a result, my hand got 10 swats from a hickory stick as punishment for being so flippant. And that's my story in the second grade.
Then I won't have to stop each time and say.
Well, no.
His story is better than mine.
My name is Theodora, and I came to Holden 7 years ago, and I'm not Lutheran, and I came with Helen. And when we got here, we formed a real close friendship, and our friendship started before that. because our children, Helen's and my children, got married, even though we didn't want them to. And that was 13 years before we came to Holden.
13 years before now, yeah.
13 years before now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the nice part about that story is they have three wonderful children, and they both, I forgot to mention this, they both dropped out of college, and that's one of the reasons I was so upset about them getting married, and was so against it because I just didn't think it would work out, and it's worked out, and they're still very happily married.
My name is Charlie. Would you believe it? I come from Minneapolis, and my story is how I got to Holden. The first time we came here, we were in a camper, my wife, my three daughters, and I. And we stopped at 25 Mile and got early in the morning so we'd be on time for the boat, and we couldn't get the camper down. It wouldn't flip like it's supposed to. So the man next to me was a very generous fellow, and he and I got the manual out, and we pulled up the floorboards, and we identified the problem, the pin that ran the elevating mechanism had sheared off. This is Sunday. And have you ever tried to find anything in Chelan on Sunday? They had every kind of pin except the one that fit. So my wife and daughters went ahead on the boat, and my son and I were able finally to fix the camper and left it at 25 Mile Island. I'm just screwing this up. Then a man came by in a boat, and he said, I will help you catch up with the steamer. It goes slow. So he got in this boat. I got in this boat. I, Charlie, and my son got in this boat. It had nothing but a forward gear all out. It wouldn't back up, it wouldn't do anything. So we started out up the lake and ran out of gas. And the boat was getting closer and closer to Holden, and we were worried about we were going to miss the bus. So we got some gas, but it was choppy on the lake and it was hard to fill it, and the little boat got full of water. And we finally got it restarted. The man said, if you'll take the plug out of the boat, it'll go 5 miles an hour faster and we can catch them. So I, Charlie, waited till he got up to maximum speed. Then I took the plug out of the boat and we did go 5 miles an hour faster. And Charlie had, the man that was driving me had a horn that he could squeeze, and it warned the boat, which was still on the landing, all packed and ready to go. By the noise of that horn, we got on the boat. Oh.
Next.
As a true story, too.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
I am Hazel, and I am from La Crosse, Wisconsin. I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm here at Holden for the very first time with a group of people from La Crosse, Wisconsin. And when we go home, we're going to go home through Glacier National Park. And we've had a wonderful, wonderful time. When I was a child, I grew up in a Norwegian family in Wisconsin. And one really special thing about me is that I had a birthday that was celebrated a day or two from my mother's birthday. And so every year, we had a great celebration together, and we would invite all of our friends. My mother would have her friends over, and I would be able to have my friends over, and we would have a special kind of cake, a white cake with lemon filling, and always red Jell-O with bananas, and it was a wonderful celebration.
And I am Marilyn,
And I was born in Eastern Washington State, and the town was Walla Walla. As a child, her father passed away when she was 6 years old. My father passed away when I was 6 years old. Consequently, my mother was responsible for my brother and I, and she remarried a year later. And then we went to live on the farm in, I presume, around Walla Walla. And I went to country school, and there were lots of immigrant Mexican children there, and they spoke both Spanish and Mexican, I believe it was. And she had a good childhood life there. And she remembers anyway, there was one particular incident that I really recall. She said we always were supposed to go to bed early. I thought the children were supposed to go to bed early. And if they made too much noise, somebody came up the stairs and said, now quit making noise, go back to sleep. So they had found some seed corn up in the attic someplace, and they decided, I decided we were going to have some fun. And we took the kernels of corn and we dropped them through the open air registers, and they dropped them into the coffee cups of the people who were drinking coffee downstairs. There you are, this is Mel.
Okay, thank you.
Jobs at universities in Illinois and as in industry in Oklahoma, and now we're in Thousand Oaks, California, where my husband is in retirement, but he still teaches one class there. The story that I like to tell is last August we took a one-month tour of Europe, and one of our very special plans was to go to the opera in Gothenburg, Sweden, where a very dear friend of ours was conducting the orchestra, or conducting the opera. And he invited us to go to the ballet the day before, and we were really pleased with that invitation. And we met the director of the ballet. And the next day we were just waiting to go to this opera that we had gone all the way to Gothenburg, Sweden to attend, and the tenor became ill and the opera was canceled. And we felt so bad about it, but the director of the ballet heard about the bad situation, and it really turned out to be a wonderful situation because he took us out to dinner and he showed us all the highlights and the wonderful spots in Gothenburg, Sweden. And it was the nicest time that I've ever had in my life. So it's kind of an example of making lemonade out of lemons. So I really enjoyed that trip very much.
Very good.
You know, this is bad. My memory is fading fast. So I better tell it right away. Before you lose
it. I think I've already lost part of it.
She'll help you, Dora.
Yeah, she'll help you.
My name is Greta Nelson, and my mother is from Germany. She has been invited, along with my sister, to come to celebration of the town where she was born. I think 70 years. And so I have decided to go with them, and that's what we're planning to do in July.
We're meeting next Thursday.
Next Thursday. I think that's it. I don't think she really didn't get to finish her story because we ran out of time.
Well,
so
that's a good start. You just ask her some more questions about it then later. Good. Thanks a lot. That was wonderful.
Oh, you remember? My name is Marilyn, and the story I have to tell is about my mother.
When she was younger, before I was born, she was diagnosed to have tuberculosis. And so they put her into a sanitarium. Is that right?
Yeah, I was just going to straighten my hair.
Oh. Sorry. And so they put her into the sanitarium, and of course, it was very cold in the sanitarium. They thought, I guess, that killed the germs. And when the water glasses would have ice on the top when they went to drink the water. But anyway, then the doctor came in one day to see Mother, and he said, what is this book you have on the on the table here? And she said, this is my Bible. And he said, nobody believes that. Why do you have that there? Nobody needs that. And she said, oh, I think I do need that. And that the Lord, and then he said, if you're really a Christian, the Lord certainly would heal you. And she said, well, we don't know how the Lord works in our lives. And so they left it at that, and he left the room. The next day, or shortly after that, they determined that there was some calcium buildup in her lungs. And so they took her in to check her, and there was no tuberculosis. She was cured. The Lord had worked in her life.
Okay. My name's Joyce, and I grew up in Minnesota, and then I moved to Wisconsin and met my husband there, and we joined a church in Wisconsin, and we, you know, belonged there and met a lot of nice people there. And so they got together and they decided that they were going to change churches. First of all, Joyce decided she was going to change churches.
I'm trying to think of a story. That's
oh, I decided. I and my husband decided. Okay, I and my husband decided we were going to change churches, and then the other friends decided they were going to change churches also. So then 3 years ago, I decided to come out here to Holden Village, and the friends decided to come along too. And we decided we were going to be driving, my husband and I, and everybody else decided they were going to be flying. So, and then they came out here and they decided, we came out here and and we said that we were going to come back in 3 years. So then, now 3 years went by and we came back again, and we decided we were going to fly this time, and all the friends decided they were going to drive. So it was such a long adventure to come out here, you know, and we had to take the buses and everything, and then take the boat up, you know. So they were so excited. We were so excited when we got up here and saw all our friends here.
My name is Ada, and I live in Everett, Washington. My parents came from Norway. Before they were married, they came over here. One settled in North Dakota. The other went on to Everett. But it was 10 years before they got together and got married. The first 5 years, there were some cousins in North Dakota, and these cousins sent money to Ada so that she could come over. For Ada's mother. My mother. Yeah. So that my mother could come over. And mother lived in North Dakota, and she, these people, the cousins, had paid for her passage over, and she had to work and stay there on the farm there for 5 years just to pay for the passage for those for 5 years, just pay for the passage. And then she would, and then there another 5 years she worked there before my father came from Everett when they finally got married. Anyway, they finally got married then after 10 years. But it was a long wait. And as I was growing up, my mother would tell me stories of Norway, and we were always interested when grandfather would send a letter, and we would read the grandfather's letter about, it was almost like a sermon, his letters were. Giving advice, you know, and telling all about Norway. And they were very Christian people, the grandparents. I was very pleased in 1972. I finally went to Norway to visit my mother's relatives. And I took my daughter went along. And that was 1972, and it was a very happy reunion with the cousins.
And I'm Carolyn, and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I have three children and a set of twins. Well, I should say three, including a set of twins. And I was here in came to Holden Village 3 years ago, and came with a large group from our church and had such a wonderful time. And now we came back again, and we are staying for 10 days and with church friends. And my husband enjoys rocks and working with geology, so he's spending all his time with the geologists. And I've been doing some hiking and just enjoying it so very, very much. And from here, we are going to go to Seattle to visit relatives, and then we're going to Everett. And I'm from Everett. I gotta just include that. And I've just got. Yeah. And her name is Margie. She can't remember her last name. We're going to find out.
A new relative.
a relative. And from there, we are going to Vancouver, Washington. And my husband's relative there. I don't know. Did we get sweet? We didn't finish it.
I guess that's about it.
As far as she told me much. But you see, I'm in that same category. I don't remember that.
You want to sit first?
It doesn't matter.
Make it funny.
Okay, my name is Joyce, and I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And my husband and I, we drove out here, and this was kind of a reward, this trip. I retired June 26th, and I can't remember what my job was because I don't think I was told.
Oh,